so here I am, doing everything I can, holding on to what I am, pretending I'm a superman. I'm trying to keep, ladies and gentlemen, the ground on my feet. Woohoo!
World's falling down. We're back on an early, late Monday night podcast. It's gonna be late. Oh my god. Hold on, this is one of the best parts of the song.
Confused about what you do. All the way. Da 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 da. So here I am. Growing older all the time. Looking older all the time. In my mind, and here I am, doing everything I can, holding on to what I am, pretending I'm a superman. I am 24, this is my podcast, 24's podcast. We're back to talk about sports for 20 to 30, 40, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 minutes. I lost count of sheep. My mind is racing fast. I don't know how long this podcast is going to be. But we'll be back. We're back. I'll talk about it, ladies and gentlemen. 24's podcast. Sure. I know I'm running circles, but I can't quit. And I'm so confused about what you do. Sometimes I just throw it all away. So here I am, going all the time, growing old all the time, feeling younger in my mind. So here I am, everything I can, holding on to what I am, pretending I'm a superman. Sorry, I got great personal news. Great personal news. Oh my gosh. Hold on. I'm just watching some Tony Hawk Pro Skater. Hold on. Hold on. Yeah. So here I am. Everything I can, holding it on to what I am, pretending I'm a superman. I'm trying to keep the ground on my feet. It seems the world's falling down around me. The nights are long, I'm singing a song to try and make the answers more than maybe. Well, I'm so confused about what you do. Sometimes I just throw it all away. So here I am, growing older all the time. Sorry, I'm just watching this this YouTube short. I mean, like, anyone who's played video games know what and where that song is from. If you don't, how dare you? It's from Tony Hawk's Pro Skater Part 1 and 2. Hold on. Now it's just like, I just can't stop watching, you know, like fucking videos or shorts. It's ridiculous, sorry. And it's like Goldfinger. Goldfinger is the band that performed it. I think it's like the only song that I know of theirs. I don't know why I was getting into it. God. Went to school. Spring break is over. Went back. Had to get some stuff done. Had to, you know, finish off the semester. And so, I go to the business office
to handle a little bit of business. And to the school Barnes & Noble store, or technically it's a bookstore. But I go to both, right? Go to the bookstore. I pick something up. I'll talk about it in a second. Go to the business office. If you've never been to college, if you don't know, in college, you usually get some money back per semester. It's called like a refund check. And so I went in and I asked, I was like, hey, when am I going to get my refund check? And so I was like, you know, because it's the end of the semester pretty much. I mean, we got like a little bit over a month left. So I'm like, when am I going to get my refund check? And I know it's probably not going to be this week. Potentially it could. She said March 20th to April 2nd. And I was like, man, that's a two, almost 3 week timetable. It's like, you know, what's going on? Can you narrow it down? She's like, April 2nd is probably when I'm going to be able to get it. And I was like, all right. Okay. 2 weeks. I understand. I'm excited because, I mean, A, I have to register for classes next semester, and I'll, ironically enough, use, not even next semester, it's the summer. I'll take summer school because I failed college algebra. But I'm going to use that money, pay for college, and then I'm going to treat myself. I'm going out. I don't know. It's we'll see. Hold on. I'm trying to get a tattoo, right? A new tattoo on my chest to immortalize some, maybe not immortalize, but kind of to like represent some family members that have passed. I'm trying to like look up the parlor that I was thinking of. What was it? Oh yeah, here it is. It's like they have this, the tattoo parlor that I went to, or that I'm thinking about going to, has these like really, really beautiful, beautiful fucking flowers, like fantastic fucking flowers. And I was like, man, some of the flowers I don't like as much, but I was like, man, they got some really, really fucking awesome flowers, and I wanted flowers and stuff like that. But I don't know the prices. That's the problem, is like, and everybody has different prices and everybody has different, you know, pricing methods. And I was just like, I kind of just want to know how much money will it fucking cost? That's all I want to know. How much money? I mean, I'm now looking at the tattoo parlors, like, tattoos, and I'm like, I was like, damn, these are some actually really good tattoos. Now it's like, I'm looking at the location, right? I'm trying to find the location. Like, trying to see where it is. Okay, so it's at the end of, like, a cul-de-sac. Jesus Christ. I'm like, it's literally in the bumfuck middle of nowhere. I don't know where this place is. And it's just like, I know the city that it's in. I just don't know where it is. It's like, it's so weird. It's like, it's in this semi-developed neighborhood. But at the exact same time, it's in, like, the neighborhood isn't fully developed. So it's like, it's in a weird location. But yeah, I was thinking about getting a new tattoo because I was like, I wanted to get one, I don't know. It's like, I may have to look at some other places. I don't know, because it's like, there's so many different tattoo shops. And it's like, it's like, hold on. I'm trying to like find. I mean, this podcast is just going just horrendously for me, because I'm like, I'm trying to find and see if they have like, if certain places. Hold on. Here we go. I'm trying to find it. I'm trying to find like images. But for some weird reason, it won't show me the images. And then most of these places, they don't have. Here we go. I was like, I don't know why I couldn't just show me the images. Literally, the first image that I see of, like, one artist is, like, of this kind of bad skull clock thing. I was like, all right, that's... All right. Okay. Then there's better ones. Okay, never mind. There's actually some decent ones. Sometimes it's, like, the problem when you're looking at tattoos, it's, like, sometimes the problem is, it's, like, did you do that or did somebody else do that? Okay, no, I see some nice flowers. All right. Like roses. Anyways, I'm thinking about going to a tattoo parlor, and I'm thinking about getting a tattoo. I'm trying to figure out. Wait. Where is this? I'm trying to, like, figure out where this place is and also how much the price is. That's what I really want to know. I'm like, how much is this fucking, how much does it cost? And it's like tattoo parlors, it's not always that they're on a sliding scale. It's just like depending on what you get and how much of it and how detailed it is and stuff like that. Like, it can be pretty expensive or not. Hold on. Stop capping. This is not, no. I was like, I'm like, I've been here. I've gotten my tattoo. I got my first tattoo at a place that I don't want to get my second tattoo at. I was like, no, thank you. Where's the other one? This is the one I was thinking of. Okay. I'm not going to say what it is because I don't want to, like, dox myself or dox where they are at. I'll probably do this on my own time. But it's like, I live pretty much outside of a major city right in Florida. And I'm trying to, like, figure out, because I know most of the streets and stuff like that, and I'm trying to figure out, like, where this fucking place is relative to anything else. And I, for some weird reason, cannot. I mean, it's like, it's off of, hold on, it's off of this. I don't know how to find it. It's like, it's off of this, this fucking, I just don't even know. This is, like, the worst thing I've ever done in my entire life. Okay, so here's the Sam's. Then there's, like, there's a movie theater. It's, like, right down the street from, like, a major college. What? Yeah, here it is. Okay, now I kind of know where I'm at. Okay, sorry. I'll look at this later on. I really should have looked at this later on. Give me, like, the details. Like, I'm just doing stuff from Google. On Google, but I'm like, give me the freaking, like, details, or not the details, but, like, the directions. I hate how I can't get directions from where I'm at or where I place the human being on Google Maps. I can't get directions. I'm just like, I gotta get directions. I gotta freaking figure this stuff out. Yeah, but the tattoo parlor that I'm trying to go to is, like, literally at the end of this, like, semi-developed area. And so that's kind of what I'm interested in. But yeah, refund check coming soon. Super excited. It's like one of the only benefits of going to school. Weirdly enough, I mean, maybe not weirdly enough, but it's like, depending on kind of like your financial status or whatever, you can go to school for free if you have scholarships, depending on how much, you know, depending on financial aid. It's like, and I mean, technically speaking, I'm going to community college. I don't want to say you can go to school for free because that's not true. I'm going to community college for free. Or technically speaking, I'm getting paid to go to community college. But again, right? It's different. Or not, it's different, but it's like, it's complicated. Where? Okay, so here's the highway. Okay, so I know exactly where this is. It's like, I can't let this fucking shit go. I cannot let this go. I have to figure out where this tattoo parlor is. And I know, okay, so boom, here's the major city. Okay, I'm booking it. I'm gunning it. I'm going forward. So, okay, I know where it is. I know where it is. I was like, Jesus Christ. Just, like, tell me where the frick it is. Shit! Sorry. Hold on. Okay, there we go. All right, I'm done with that. I'm done with that because I've spent like 15 minutes trying to figure out where I can get this, go to this place. Anyways, spent a lot of time today spent a lot of time today at school, back at school, et cetera, et cetera. Wanted to get a tattoo, waiting for my refund check to come through, thinking about getting a tattoo, a new one. But also, I'm thinking of getting an AYN Odin 2. It's like this video game Android console that can like emulate video games and stuff like that. But you want to know what the fucking problem is? Fucking problem is, it's like, it's easily going to cost like $450, right? Because it's like, the console itself costs $369, plus shipping and handling is like $20, so we're talking $399. And then it's like, I want to get a memory card that's like 500 gigs, because right now, the folder with all of my ROMs in it is like 217 gigabytes. So, I mean, we're talking, this is not chump change type of stuff. This is it's 240 gigs, okay? So it's literally bigger, almost as big, excuse me, than like the 256 gigabyte memory card. I got to go for 500, okay? So it's like, boom, tack on an additional $40. So now we're at $440, okay? And then it's like, what else do I want? I don't know, but that's what I want. That's what I'm thinking. And it's like, I got to get the tattoo. And then I got to go to school and stuff like that. Let me look up summer school classes really fast. Because I'm like, do I get a discount for summer school classes? I feel like I should. If it feels like summer school classes. Let me Google this. Do summer school classes cost more? They shouldn't cost more. In some cases, summer classes are more expensive, and sometimes scholarships only apply to spring and fall semesters. And if, what is it? Summer school can cost more. Yeah, but like at a community college, I'm Googling some of this stuff. What is it? I'm like on the website. Hold on. Register for classes. I just don't understand how much do summer school classes count. Hold on. Where is it? Tuition and fees. 150 dollars. Per credit hour for fee for students enrolled in $22 or more. $150. Are you fucking kidding me? I mean, it's community college, but it's like it's $150 per credit hour for part-time and summer term students. So it's like, I'm taking 3 hours, so it's what, like $450, right? $450. Ugh, God. Regardless, I have to retake the course anyways. Sorry about all of the segues. Anyways, today, right, did a bunch of stuff. Hold on. Just so much stuff is going on right now. I was looking at this vinyl crate earlier. And it's like a $100 vinyl crate. It's like in one of those heavy duty fancy ones with the handles. It can store, I don't know how many, it's 50, I guess. It's 50 albums. And I was looking at it and I was just like, man, I gotta wonder how much do these things cost now? And it's just like, they're supposed to be somewhere close to like $100. It's 57. It's like, that's why I perked up. I was like, oh, let me scoot up. Let me look at this closely. I'm on Amazon. I'm doing light shopping. Sorry. Again, I get super distracted super easily. I got to get to the point. I go into school. I get my frame that I'm going to put my college diploma in. And I think nothing of it. Right? I mean, I thought a lot of it. Want to know why I thought a lot of it? Because it costs freaking $122. That's why I thought a lot of it. I was like, this costs $122. Thought a lot of it because of the price, but didn't think anything of it for the most part. I don't know why they keep on showing me this poster of Austin Reeves against this other guy. It's an obvious charge. It is an obvious charge. And ESPN is going absolutely ballistic about it. I'm like, it's an obvious charge. It's a joke. ESPN, get your freaking head out of your ass. It's a charge. Jesus Christ. And then Austin Reeves, they freaking literally put, they made this graphic. They showed this Atlanta Hawk posterizing Austin Reeves, but then they freaking barely gloss over LeBron with the hard putback, and then Austin Reeves with an easy-ass steal, and then he feeds LeBron the ball behind the back jam, LeBron James from Austin Reeves. Thank you very much. Easy deuce. Atlanta Falcons, Hawks, whatever your name is, get your head out of your ass. Jesus Christ. Anyways. I go in bookstore, get my frame, think nothing of it, come home. I unbox it, take it out of the box. I take it out of the shrink wrap and I hold it. In my frame for my diploma is right next to me. I'm holding it right now. It's nice. It's shiny. I mean, it's worth $122. I'm not going to lie to you. It's nice. It's shiny. It has a nice glossy finish. Fingerprint magnet. But it looks sweet. It looks nice. It looks professional. It looks, you know how like sometimes people are like colleges, they're for elitists. They're for elitists. They're for elitists. You know, people that say, oh, you know, if you're educated, you're uppity. You're snarky. You're bougie. Whatever. I'm not going to lie to you. This makes me feel very bougie. Not bougie. It makes the experience. It makes college feel like college for some weird reason. Like in college, it's like school, right? And you don't really think about school as like an academic setting, an academic principle or area, excuse me. But it's like specifically high school. But it's like college is supposed to be that. It's supposed to be, you know, the highest level of education that you essentially can reach, whether that's in your undergraduate or your graduate or your doctoral program. It's like, this is the big bucks. This is it. This area is it. And it's like, I mean, depending on which college you go to, I guess for me, it never really felt all that important until I got this fucking frame. Not even my fucking diploma, because I dropped out of college. The fucking frame for my diploma. I mean, it makes college feel like an actual accomplishment, like an actual fucking achievement. And I've had so much hardship over the last couple of years, family members dying, ton of adversity, work and school. Again, I failed college algebra. Last semester, I have to retake it in the summer. I have to spend $450 in the summer. Gotta take it. Gotta retake it. Gotta take it. And it just felt overwhelmingly unpositive. Like it just didn't feel like nothing was going to get better, that I was going to essentially be stuck here forever, constantly suffering, constantly struggling, constantly having to find a way to push through obstacles. And now it's like I see the fucking end of the motherfucking tunnel. I see the fucking light. I literally have the fucking light in my hands, or technically I put the frame down, so it's beside me. It's like literally in a little bit over a month, I'm going to be graduating. I'm going to be taking my finals. I'm going to be graduating college, community college. I'm going to go to the big boy one in the fall. And this semester, for the first time in my life, I will potentially, maybe, we'll see. I will have straight A's this semester. First time in my entire life. Didn't do it in elementary school. Didn't do it in middle school. Didn't do it in high school. Only time at the highest level of education imaginable. Oh, sweet Mary of Joseph. Oh, my God. What an awesome day. For me. Can't wait.
Cannot wait, ladies and gentlemen. I'm so excited. Gosh. I'm not going to lie to you. I was so happy. So happy when I held that frame in my hands that I literally almost started to cry because I was so happy. Oh my gosh. Oh God. And then I didn't do anything for like 6-7 hours after I came home from school. And now it's like midnight and I have to do an assignment that's due tomorrow. Same fucking class. Degenerate. Why the fuck would you schedule a goddamn test? Why would you do this? Why would you do this? I have a test that is scheduled literally for tomorrow. I haven't studied for it. Should have studied for it during spring break, but I had other things to do. But it's like, didn't study for it, have to study for it now, and I also have to do an assignment. It's just like, my guy, like, come on. You want to know the annoying thing about this class, right? The annoying thing about this class is that the tests are quote-unquote, like, short. And so the professor is like, because the tests are short, I'm doing back-to-back. I'm double dipping, right? Excuse me. I'm double dipping. So we're going to take the test first. The test will take more or less, according to the professor, it'll take like 30 minutes. And then we're supposed to do these presentations that I have to write up and type up for tomorrow. And I have to present those in class. And I was like, dude, like, what is this? What is this? What the fuck is this? But yeah, I mean, I'm obviously I'm not happy. Not happy about it. It's ridiculous. Look, don't assign homework. Like, if you are going to assign homework, if you are going to have a test, make the fucking test be on Thursday. Why? Like, I remember last semester, I think I had a quiz or a test in college algebra at, like, the end of the semester or whatever. Or not at the end of the semester, like, the Tuesday after Thanksgiving, right? So, we have Thanksgiving break. I have a test that Tuesday, the week after I have finals. And it's like, the reason why the professor scheduled the test on Tuesday instead of Thursday, and she gave us the option. She was like, which one do you want? Like, Tuesday or Thursday? Everybody was like, Tuesday. And the reason why the class was like Tuesday is because Thursday we could use to review for finals, right? So it's like, a lot of stuff had to be done, but it got done. And I'm just like, there's no reason to double fucking book Tuesday. There's no fucking reason to have a test and an assignment due on the exact same day that we have to present in class. It's just make in class early. In class early. Do not be a terrorist. Don't be a terrorist. Just in the class early. My God. Holy smokes. But anyways, yeah, super excited for the next month. All of my hard work seems to be fucking coming to fruition, in all honesty. I'm super excited about it. I was so confused as to like why, because I was looking at, I don't understand Google at all. Google's thing. I was like looking at it. I was looking at the reviews for some of these tattoo shops and they were like, technically speaking, they keep on not showing me the reviews for it. And I was like, didn't the shop have more reviews? And I was like, yes, it did. And then it did. And for some odd reason, they didn't show me it. Now I got it. I got to look at some of these fucking tattoos. Hold on. Oh my God. They have some really, really fucking cool art. Really fucking cool art. Sorry. Hold on. Yeah, I'm back. I'm sorry. I'm back looking at tattoos again. Oh gosh. Anyways, as I was saying before, sorry about that. Goodness gracious, I'm exhausted. We're here to talk about sports. Here to talk about football, especially. Free agency is going on. It's the middle of March, so
There's probably pro days that are going on. I haven't really tapped in that much to it because pro days, you know what? The NFL Network doesn't broadcast pro days, and their broadcast and coverage of pro days is kind of bad. A lot of things that the NFL Network does is kind of bad. I just don't watch it anymore. I used to watch it religiously, and now it's just like, I'm just like, it's just meh. It's just a whole lot of meh. You know, it's just like, why would I subject myself to that? It's meh. But yeah, pro days are going on. Evaluations. We'll talk more about wide receivers on Wednesday because wide receivers are just, there's a lot to talk about with wide receivers. I'll talk about it on Wednesday. But the NFL offseason is kind of in full swing. Let me talk about Dallas for like a couple of minutes here. I haven't really followed the Dallas Cowboys after their disastrous loss to the Green Bay Packers in the playoffs. Just horrendous loss. Terrible loss. But it's been a whole lot of dysfunction pretty much ever since that loss. You have, I mean, the whole world just destroying the Cowboys. But now it seems like Dallas, for the most part, was very much insular. Like, a lot of their problems wouldn't necessarily, especially since Dak kind of came to town, a lot of their problems wouldn't necessarily spill out into the media. Players weren't really that vocal. And now it's like, it just feels as if there's a lot more vocal, just discouragement from players, I guess, if that's the best way to describe it. A lot of players are just fed up. Micah Parsons, CeeDee Lamb, and probably Dak Prescott very quietly. I remember I saw Colin Cowherd say something interesting technically it was like a thumbnail for a video. I didn't actually see him play it, didn't see him talk about it. But apparently it's like Dallas is very scared to pay Dak Prescott, and according to Colin Cowherd. And I was like, well, hell, Dallas is very scared to pay fucking all of their fucking players because they still don't have CeeDee Lamb signed, and it's March. They needed to have signed Dak Prescott to a long-term deal this season, right? But they have not done that yet whatsoever for some weird reason. I don't really understand or know why. Dak Prescott is on the books for $55 million. He's getting paid $55 million. They are not going to pay him. It's what it looks like. I don't know. They're not going to pay him because they're probably worried about him long term. They're like, well, we can potentially go out and get somebody in the draft, or we can probably go out and get another, or we can have Trey Lance be the starting quarterback. If Trey Lance is the starting quarterback next season, I'm going to kill myself. But here's the thing. In 2025, Dak's contract, his next season will potentially be his final season in Dallas. Not the 2024 season, but the 2025 season, because he's off the books, right? He's off the books, I think so for the most part. Let me just look up Dak's numbers. I mean, he's signed throughout 2028, but he has void years in his contract. So 2025 is pretty much the final year of his contract, right? And so Dallas, really, they need to sign him like now, but they aren't. But I get it. From like a perspective of like, hey, you know, Dak hasn't necessarily had a lot of great playoff performances in the last couple of years. It's like, all right, fine, sure, we can have that conversation. He hasn't. But outside of the Tom Brady game where he retired the greatest football player of all time. But Dak lacks playoff success. That's not even a question. It's like it's a fact. Especially considering some of the teams that he's been on recently. However, Dak also is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. That's also a fact. Like, it's very, very weird to say. Like, and the thing about it is, a lot of people are going to say, well, Dak, like, I remember Chris Broussard, he was on First Things First, and he was talking about how he wouldn't have his team run through Dak Prescott. And I was like, well, why? And the notion is, well, the team can't really be carried through Dak. And I was like, okay, well, let's take a look at Lamar Jackson, right? We don't want Lamar Jackson to run the football hundreds of times a year because that puts him at a huge risk of being injured, like it did in the 2022 season, right? He gets hurt, because Baltimore is leaning on him way too much. Everybody's like, he needs help, especially at wideout. So guess what? They got him a wide receiver, right? In not only in Zay Flowers, I was about to say Rashad Bateman, but in Zay Flowers, Odell Beckham Jr., and in Rashad Bateman. And he had Mark Andrews, who's one of the best tight ends in the NFL. And then this year, right, to help him out in the running game, they got Derrick Henry. And so, and by the way, Lamar Jackson's second playoff win, and the only time that he's been to the AFC Championship game was last year. And so it's like, but our perspective on Lamar Jackson is that Lamar deserves his fully guaranteed contract. He's great. He's also all that good stuff. But he does struggle in the playoffs, like he did against Kansas City. Probably should have won that game, right? Instead, he lost it at home against Kansas City in the AFC Championship game for the Super Bowl, for the marbles. Couldn't come out. Couldn't clutch it out. In my opinion, he was on a better team. But the perspective around Lamar is he's a great quarterback. He'll continue to be great, et cetera, et cetera. He's going to be great for a long time. Perspective around Dak Prescott is we got to get him out of Dallas. For me personally speaking, I wouldn't move on from either quarterback. I wouldn't move on from Dak. Dak gets you 12 games a year. Like, it's so weird. Like, I feel like people, they don't understand what is like stability, what is like true stability, and what is instability and dysfunction. Like, Dallas winning 12 games, 3 years in a row is stability. But I feel like because Dallas is winning 12 games in a row for 3 years, the expectation is, well, they should have went to the Super Bowl by now. And it's like, sure, fine. They should have been more competitive in the playoffs. That's fair. But the fact that you have a team that struggled with success for the better part of now almost 30 years, and they are kind of finding success, and they're stabilizing, and people are like, get rid of Mike McCarthy. Get rid of Dak Prescott. I'm like, what? Like, what? It's always been confusing. Jerry Jones came out and said something recently. He said, we're all in. I can't do the Jerry Jones voice, but he's like, we're all in and we're going to go out and we're going to be competitive and we're going to compete in free agency. And it's like, they have pretty much done nothing in free agency. Granted, unless you wanted to sign a running back or Bobby Wagner, which by the way, Washington got Bobby Wagner, which I think is a really, really good pickup for them. But it's like, there's not really a whole lot of great pass rushers in free agency. I don't think, I mean, maybe I'm missing somebody, but there's not really a lot of them out there that are available for you. There's not really a lot of great run stuffers as well. There's probably a couple that I'm forgetting. But again, it's like they're like it's very subjective, right? And there's not like one free agent that they got that I was like, man, I can't believe that they didn't get this guy. Or really, it's not even that one guy that they essentially let go of that I feel like they should have gone after or that they should have re-signed. It's kind of like it's just like they've had an average offseason where they didn't go out and re-sign a guy that I feel like is terrible, and they didn't go out and they didn't get a guy that I felt was very, very good. It's weird. It's very weird. But Jerry's saying that we're all in and then kind of trying to cast aspersions on Dak Prescott and saying Dak will take us as far as we will go, and that's as far as we got essentially this year, kind of putting it on him, I feel like it's ridiculous because Jerry essentially takes a month off and does fucking nothing for a month, and he doesn't sign any of his fucking players. It's like the thing that really fucking pisses me off about the Dallas Cowboys, and I'm watching the Dodgers right now on my TV. Thing that fucking pisses me off about the Cowboys, when it comes to fucking write checks, Dallas sure doesn't like to fucking cash them. You know? They don't really like to sign them. Jerry will write all these fucking checks. Jerry will fucking say, well, I'll spend as much money as it possibly takes to win a fucking World Series. Or not a World Series, a Super Bowl. I'm watching baseball. He's like, I'll do whatever it takes and yada, yada, yada. And then when it's like, okay, time to put your money where your freaking mouth is, he wants to freaking act like he's a pauper. He wants to act like he's penniless. It's time to pay. It's like, goddamn, if you're not going to pay Dak Prescott, pay the players that you know are going to be here for a long period of time. Pay Micah Parsons. Pay CeeDee Lamb. You know? Those are guys that are going to be here for about 10 years, right? And it's like these two guys, you know, are two of the top guys in your position, Jerry, at their position. There is no, I don't give a shit about the fucking playoffs. It's like the playoffs are done. The playoffs are over. You have to retain Micah Parsons. You have to retain CeeDee Lamb. Period. End of fucking discussion. Suck it up. You have to sign those guys. It's going to bite you in the ass long term. Just like how it bit you in the ass when fucking Dak was up and you didn't sign Dak. You didn't sign Amari Cooper. You signed fucking Lael Collins to essentially be one of the top fucking tackles in the NFL, and then you cut him like 2-3 years later, and then the same thing fucking happened to Zeke. You gave Zeke like a 6-year contract or 5-6 year fucking contract, and then you were like, oh wait, middle of the contract, he's not very good. It's fucking ridiculous. It's fucking ridiculous. Just like Jerry will fucking talk all fucking day long about what he'll do and how he'll do it and all this bullshit and how he'll go on all these fucking bullshit Dallas media radio stations. He'll wax unpoetically for 20 or 30 minutes and people will eat it up like they're eating up fucking fillets, and he won't fucking pay the damn price. The price is CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons are two of your top players, two of your top young players, and you don't want to fucking sign them to long-term deals. It's an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment. Just like, hey, if you don't want to sign Dak, all right, don't sign Dak. But God damn it, sign your fucking two stars. Blows my mind. Blows my fucking mind at how idiotic this guy is. And now everybody's just fed up with Jerry. And now he's gone and ran and I don't know what he's doing now. But Jerry Jones, moron, idiot, doesn't re-sign his fucking players. Won't re-sign Dak. Won't go out and get somebody else. Make a decision. If you don't think Dak is the guy, go out and get somebody else. I like Dak. I really do. I've always liked Dak. Dak is really one of the reasons why I'm a Cowboys fan. Because he's great. I think he has greatness in him, but he doesn't have that playoff success. But I also am like, he'll have awesome regular seasons, and then he'll... these last couple of seasons, and then he just doesn't perform in the playoffs. I don't know why. It's weird. But Dallas is in shambles. Dallas is a mess, in my opinion. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't really know what their draft is going to be like or what it's going to look like. But it's not even an interesting thing to talk about Dallas anymore, because Dallas, it's not interesting. It's just kind of depressing at this point. It's like, oh my God, they're just an absolute mess. Absolute mess. Anyways, what else do I got? Talked about Dallas a little bit. Aaron Donald retired. Everybody was on it. Everybody was talking about it. Here's the thing for me about Aaron Donald retiring. I'm not going to wax poetically about what he means to the sport of football and how great he is. I think there's been other people that have done it. I mean, I'll kind of wax poetically. You know, I'll do it. Aaron Donald, in an era of edge rushers, in an era of speed rushers, Aaron Donald as a defensive tackle was easily the best pass rusher on the inside that we've probably ever seen, ever, in the history of football. Nick Wright made this interesting observation and kind of this comment. He talked about how Aaron Donald has an argument for being the greatest defensive player of all time. Like, he's been to the All-Pro team 8 times. He's been to the Pro Bowl, I think, 8 or 9 times. Like, he's been, like, all defense, essentially, almost every single year of his career. He's been a great, great football player with a tremendous amount of accolades. And I agree. I agree that he has an argument. I don't think he is. But I think he's a lot closer than I think people recognize and realize. And I was thinking about this in the shower. I was like, man, it kind of sucks that he did play for the Rams as much as he did. Because all of this, like, all of his great things and great moments really were not capitalized on by the NFL because of the football team that he plays for. Like, most people know about the Cowboys, the Giants, they know about all of these professional football teams, but one team, like, even I sometimes, like, get wrong and confused, is the Rams. It's like the Rams are just this football team that's super obscure and super, like, weird. It's like it's in Los Angeles, but really no Los Angelian really cares about the Rams. And a lot of people in Los Angeles, I mean, hell, they care more about the Dodgers than they do about the Rams. It's just like, that's insane. Because it's like the Rams, they moved out of the city and then they moved back and then they wanted to pretend like they didn't move. And now it's like people inside of Los Angeles are like, bro, we don't care about your football team. We have actual teams that have been loyal to the city of Los Angeles longer and more consistently than the Rams have. And so we'll roll with those teams. That's what we'll do. I think the Rams, and I've talked about how much I think the Rams made a mistake moving to Los Angeles. I feel like the Raiders should have moved to Los Angeles. But even with the presence of Aaron Donald, the presence on the inside, his sacks, I mean, every single time he got, like, anyone that was moderately decent as a pass rusher, I mean, either that guy cooked or Aaron cooked, like Ndamukong Suh, or even just like not even an edge rusher, but a force. If anyone was like a moderately decent defensive lineman, they benefited from having Aaron Donald on their team. Ndamukong Suh, Von Miller, they both kind of come to mind in that regard. But it's just, for me, it's like, it's awesome, his career. I knew he was kind of going to retire. I thought he was going to potentially retire like 2 years ago. And after the 2022 Super Bowl, I was like, he's going to retire because he's talked about retiring. He talked about how he's going to play for 8 years and things of that nature, and then he's going to retire. He comes back for 2 more years. They have a good team. Their offensive line kind of gets decimated, and they just aren't the same team that they once were. They also traded away Jalen Ramsey, and they lost a lot of their coaching talent. But I always felt like the Rams... really, man, it's just so tough to talk about. I feel like the Rams just kind of just were not that interesting or an exciting team, even with Aaron Donald on the field. And it's just, it's kind of sad to see Aaron kind of go into retirement. And it's just like, oh yeah, Aaron Donald retired. And then that's it. It's like, eh, you know, it is what it is. I feel like he probably has like 3 or 4 good years left in him. But he's probably, I mean, he's made hundreds of millions of dollars, but I don't know. It's hard to talk about Aaron Donald because it's like, on the one hand, he's one of the best defensive players in the NFL, the history of the sport. On the other hand, it's like the notoriety of him is kind of like, it's just, it kind of doesn't exist. You know what I mean? Like talking about Dak Prescott, for example, and how everybody's like up Dallas's ass because they have not had a whole lot of playoff success. It's like, the Rams really haven't had that much playoff success in Aaron Donald's tenure, right? Like, they've gone to the playoffs, they played in the playoffs, they've went to 2 Super Bowls, they've won one. I mean, that's playoff success, but he's not known for that success. He had 2 great games in the Super Bowl, by the way. But it's like, when we think of the Rams and we think of Aaron Donald's career, at least when I do, I think of, like, regular seasons, I think of stints in the regular season where he just, where the Rams went to the playoffs, made it to the playoffs, and then lost. And I don't really think of him having a lot of playoff success, which kind of sucks, unfortunately. Like, I feel like he should have more than 1 Super Bowl. At least in my opinion. I'll say this, however. When the Rams won the Super Bowl, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah was just hired as a Minnesota Vikings GM. And so he goes in his introductory press conference, and he says that my plan is to have like a sustained plan and sustained aggression when it comes to free agency So that way we can go out and win multiple Super Bowls, unlike the Rams, who essentially just threw away their future in order to win one. And everybody in the Minnesota Vikings press conference applauded and kind of laughed at the expense of the Rams. And I thought that was the dumbest and most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of in my entire life. And I went on to say, I think something along the lines of, when we look back at the Rams Super Bowl in 10 years, it's going to age like fine wine. Because a lot of teams in this era could have and should have taken more swings, and they didn't. And now, after, right? And now, not even after, but now we have teams that have actually taken swings. We have the Buffalo Bills, took a swing, swung and missed. We have the Bengals, swung and missed. Potentially even the Ravens, swung and missed. We have the Niners, swung and missed. These teams that at certain times kind of hamstrung their future, hamstrung their team's future plans. And now it's like they kind of are back to square one, potentially in a worse position than they were in 2-3 years ago, including the Minnesota Vikings. And it's like the only thing that the Rams GM, I think Will Snead, or I forgot what his name is, and Sean McVay, the head coach of the Rams, the only thing they have to do now is just point to that Super Bowl and say, all of the pain and the turmoil that we're going through right now is worth it because we have a Super Bowl. The pain and turmoil that you're going through and potentially you guys losing your jobs, that's not really worth it. You probably should have been more aggressive. You probably should have made some smarter decisions. Very thin margins. It's easy to be a team, and it's easy to go from like bad to good, at least in my opinion. It's easy to go from like being a dumpster fire to being like a regular trash can, you know? All you have to do is just put out the fire, get some water, put out the fire. It's hard to go from being a trash can to a gold diamond bracelet. It's hard to do that. I mean, you're dealing with like the chemical construct of the trash can now. It's like, I don't even know if we have the technology to turn a trash can into a gold diamond bracelet. But it's hard. It's hard to go from good to great. Or average to great. Let alone bad to great. And I don't think a lot of teams or even individuals and people understand that concept. It's like, it's easier to be the guy on the sidelines talking shit about the fucking lion. It's way harder to be the fucking guy and to fucking go in and fucking make some shit happen. It's way fucking harder. So we'll kind of see what happens long term with some of these other teams, but the Rams Super Bowl, I mean, it's aging like fine wine. You would love to have seen the Rams obviously win two Super Bowls, but considering that their first Super Bowl appearance with the Rams and Jared Goff and Aaron Donald, of course, was literally in the midst of the greatest sports dynasty of all time, the New England Patriots, and then their second Super Bowl that they went to is like literally in the midst of the Kansas City Chiefs dynasty. Like the fact that they were able to sneak one in is really, really fucking good. All things considered. Because it's just like nobody else is. We're going to talk about a lot of different things, but I do have a test that I have to get to, that I have to study for. We'll talk about some of this stuff on Wednesday. New podcast schedule, and I'll talk about this Wednesday as well. New podcast schedule Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So that way I can address all the things that are kind of going on in sports. But I'll see you on Wednesday. 24th podcast.